Good morning, church family. My name is Daylene Charles, and I'm pastor of Care and Missions here at EBIC. Greetings to all of you. And I want to say, wherever you are today, please know that you are a valued and loved part of this church community. May we celebrate today our unity as a church and our commitment to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior in these most challenging times. These last few weeks, we've been looking at the ways Jesus introduced himself using images and ideas to the people of the time in which he walked this earth. We've talked about images such as bread. And last week, Pastor John talked about the image of light and vineyards and shepherding. And we've also looked at how Jesus identified himself with the name I Am, the name that God gave himself. Jesus is the eternal, unchanging Messiah, and he's also Lord of our everyday. Now, I very honestly must tell you that as I prepared for this message, I had the normal anxieties that I always have when thinking about bringing a message to you. But certainly those anxieties have been magnified significantly by knowing that this morning I would be in a room full of significantly more people than I've been with in the last 4 months. Indeed, these are strange and anxious times. But in this constantly changing year of 2020, we can have the confidence and knowledge that Jesus is the Lord of the normal, and he's Lord of our new normal. And more than ever, we need a Savior who said, I am the Good Shepherd. Our scripture for today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and I'm going to start reading in verse 11. So I'd invite you to follow along with me wherever you are as I read this passage. John 10, starting in verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Well, years ago, I stumbled upon a series of books written by James Harriet, a veterinarian who entered practice in the Yorkshire Moors of England. As a veterinarian, he treated everything from cats and dogs to big farm animals. And he honestly and often comically writes of his hard work in caring for these animals, of these tough British people that made their lives in the windswept, wild, open spaces of the British moors. Now, admittedly, I am not a big animal lover. I do not own any pets, unless you count the groundhog couple that keeps running across my lawn every day, or the four, count them, four baby skunks that I saw the other day crossing my driveway. I've never really been an animal lover, but James Harriet's books, his stories of animals really fascinated me. Often he could be found trekking across the windswept barren moors in England in the freezing rain to find a distressed mother sheep ready to give birth, needing help to deliver her lambs. And it was through Harriet's stories that I started a fascination of sheep. Now, for me, sheep have always been these wonderful, cute, fluffy animals. Sheep have been part of my journeys all over the world, from the huge estancias, which are big, huge sheep farms on the pampas of Argentina, or the green hillsides of Ireland that are dotted with sheep, or watching a Bedouin shepherdess on the rocky hills of Israel caring for her sheep, or walking in my own neighborhood and being greeted by my neighbor's new little lambs frolicking in the pasture. You know, the picture of sheep spread across the hillside is as ancient as time itself, and it's repeated over and over again wherever you go throughout the world. But alas, as I began to prepare for this message, you can imagine my disappointment when I learned that sheep aren't always these cute, fluffy animals of my childhood stories. No, sadly, sheep, I've learned to know, are high-maintenance animals. In fact, more than any other class of livestock, they require meticulous care. They're actually sometimes not very smart, and they get in trouble and then get in a panic, and they're often most helpless. And then what about shepherds? Well, many of the great figures in Scripture were simple shepherds. We have Moses, who was tending his father-in-law's flock when God called him to lead his people out of the bondage that they were suffering in Egypt. And then we have David, who was a mere shepherd boy when he was called and anointed to become the king of Israel. And then we have the prophet Isaiah, who described our coming Messiah, the symbol, and used the symbol of the shepherd when he said in Isaiah 40, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." Well, when Jesus spoke of shepherds and sheep in our passage this morning, he was speaking to a people that were familiar with shepherds and sheep, had daily experiences with them. All of Jesus' followers most likely grew up hearing or telling the story of Moses and the Exodus out of Egypt and the preparation of the Passover meal where a baby lamb was used in each household. When Jesus used the metaphor of the Good Shepherd, it resonated with the people as they were likely familiar with the prophet Isaiah concerning what Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, said concerning the Lord shepherding his people. Hear these words from Ezekiel 34, starting in verse 11. "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness." And then in verse 15, "I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice." Sheep need a shepherd. And I don't think it's any accident that God has chosen to call us sheep. It's hard for us to admit, isn't it, that we often are a stubborn lot. We prefer to follow our own ways, thinking that we know what's best for us, and it often turns into disastrous results. Isaiah 53 says this, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way." And this we do repeatedly, despite many warnings all over and over again in Scripture, like this one from Psalm 14 that says, "There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death." You and I need a shepherd. One of the most often quoted passages of Scripture is what Pastor Adam read this morning in Psalm 23, and it begins with the statement, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's indicating a very practical and intimate relationship between us as human beings and our maker. Author Philip Keller writes, "It links a lump of common clay to a divine destiny. It means a mere mortal becomes the cherished object of a divine diligence." You know, it's staggering to think that Jesus Christ, the creator of this enormous universe, the one who calls himself I Am, also declares that he is our shepherd, and he invites us to be his sheep, the object of his love and his care and his attention. Well, who better can care for us? Well, this morning and the time that we have remaining, I want to look at a few ways that Jesus is our good shepherd. And the first one is this, that Jesus, our shepherd, is our provider. You know, a shepherd is always alert to the welfare of his sheep. He gets up early in the morning. He checks on them throughout the day, making sure that they're safe. Psalm 121 is a beautiful picture of our Savior's care for us. It says, "He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber." Jesus, our shepherd, is our provider. But, you know, in spite of having a shepherd that cares for us, we want to make our own decisions, don't we? We think we know what is best for us. And sometimes the grass of the pastures that our shepherd puts us in, it just doesn't seem good enough, does it? And we look longingly on the other side of the fence, thinking that it must surely be better somewhere else. We are what shepherds call fence crawlers, never content with things the way they are, wanting the best of both worlds, wanting the care of our shepherd, but also wanting the freedom to do what we want. Well, in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, Philip Keller, who himself was a shepherd, says that he talked about a sheep that he had in his flock. This particular sheep was always restless, always discontent, a fence crawler. And he named her Mrs. Gadabout. Now, no matter what field or pasture this sheep was in, Mrs. Gadabout would always search along the fence for that one spot, that one loophole that she could get out and start exploring. And what made things worse was she was a poor example to the other sheep, because some of them she would take along with her in her wandering escapades. Are we like Mrs. Gadabout? Despite all that Jesus has provided, do we still think the grass is greener on the other side of the fence? We try to satisfy our desires by pursuing things that, if we're honest, often bring heartache and disappointment and pain into our lives. Jesus, our good shepherd, invites us to put our confidence in him because he knows best what we need. Our second point is that Jesus, our shepherd, is our protector. There's an old English shepherd's term for a sheep that has turned over on its back and it can't get up again by itself. It's called a cast sheep or a cast down sheep. Now, I can only imagine a cast sheep must look pretty pathetic, lying on its back, its feet up in the air, flailing frantically, struggling to stand up, without success. And sometimes it'll bleat piteously for help, but generally it lies there lashing about in frustration and fear. As the sheep lies struggling, gases begin to build up in its stomach, and eventually this causes swelling and the blood can't get to the extremities of the sheep. And if the weather is hot and sunny, often the sheep can die within a few hours. We, like sheep, find ourselves cast down sometimes. We become discouraged, full of anxiety, attacked by temptations. Maybe we're cast down because we've made poor choices and we've gotten into this pit and we can't seem to get up and up on our feet by ourselves and get to a more healthy, a more stable, a more productive place. Psalm 42 says this, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God." Walking closely with the Good Shepherd, our protector, brings the peace and knowledge that Jesus has things under control, even when they may appear calamitous, like right now. It is in this assurance that we can find rest and peace. Well, in these last months, I have struggled with worry and anxiety, as I'm sure many of you have as well. The uncertainty of this new normal, the discouraging daily news, the isolation that I've felt from people that I care about and love has made me feel like a cast down sheep. But one thing that's helped me in these dark times is spending time with my shepherd, reviewing the ways that he has been my provider and my protector in the past, and looking at those promises for the now that he has given us and for the future that we can't see or even think about. My third point, Jesus, our shepherd, removes our burdens. You may have heard of this story a few years ago that was going around about Shrek. There's Shrek, the sheep. And Shrek was one of 17,000 sheep on a wool farm in New Zealand. And Shrek decided to dodge his shepherd and shearing for over 6 years. Now, I can imagine for a sheep, being sheared maybe is not the most comfortable thing in the world. Obviously, Shrek felt that he didn't want to have it done. And when he was finally found, he was not immediately recognizable as a sheep. And according to the BBC, Shrek had enough wool on him to produce approximately 60 pounds. A normal sheep, my understanding is, produces maybe 10 pounds or less. For 6 years, Shrek carried an enormous amount of extra weight simply because he wasn't with his shepherd. I think Shrek can be a reminder to us. If we avoid walking closely with our shepherd, if we avoid walking alongside Jesus and asking him to refine us and build our character and speak to us, we can start to accumulate extra weight, burdens we don't need to bear. Jesus said this in Matthew. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Number four, Jesus, our shepherd, knows his sheep. Shepherds know their sheep. In Northern England, often sheep from different shepherds get mixed up altogether. And to identify their sheep, sheep owners mark their sheep sometimes with a dab of a certain color of paint that identifies them as their owners. And some shepherds cut distinctive marks into the ears of their sheep. And in this way, shepherds always know their sheep, even from a distance. Well, in our passage from John today, verse 14 says, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me." Jesus knows us. He made us. He knows our insecurities. He knows every stupid thing we've ever done and every stupid thing we're going to do. He knows our heartaches, our disappointments, all of our thoughts. He knows what keeps us awake at night. Pastor Tim Keller says, "Jesus, our good shepherd, knows the very depth of our sheepness." And despite knowing the depth of our sheepness, our messiness in our lives, Jesus sees our value. He loves us and he wants a relationship with us. I think that there's nothing more beautiful than these words from Psalm 139 that talks about how the Lord knows us. "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me." We are his treasure. We are his beloved sheep. Worship leader and composer Tommy Walker wrote a worship song. You may be familiar with it. It's called He Knows My Name. I'm not sure if we've ever sung it here at EBIC. But Tommy tells this story about the words to this song. He says, in 1997, I met a 7-year-old orphan in the Philippines named Jerry. And every day he would ask me, Tommy, what's my name? And I would have to say, not many people on this earth knew this abandoned, extremely poor boy's name. But I got to tell him that someone much greater than me did, and I got to sing to him and many of his orphan friends this song. I've had the privilege of telling forgotten people in many parts of the world, both rich and poor, that God knows them and is calling their name, and what a privilege it has been. And in the end, I turned the song into a prayer saying, let the abandoned, the nameless, the friendless, and the forgotten say, he knows my name. There's nothing more powerful than to know and declare that the God of heaven knows us and loves us. Hear the words to this song. I have a maker. He formed my heart. Before even time began, my life was in his hands. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. I have a father. He calls me his own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. People of EBIC, because he knows us and loves us, Jesus, our shepherd, laid down his life for us. And that's our final point. Jesus sees our value. He's not like the hired man that abandons the sheep when the going gets rough. Jesus says, I love my sheep. And when the wolves come, I become the sacrificial lamb so that my sheep won't perish. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah prophesies what our Savior will do for us. Isaiah 53 says, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, he did not open his mouth. Jesus willingly laid down his life for the lost sheep of humanity. He made the ultimate sacrifice and accomplished redemption for us on a cross in our place. Our value, infinitely precious, that he would die for us. Now, I have 3 takeaways in the remaining moments that we have this morning for you. And I'm indebted to Pastor Tim Keller for these. And the first one is this: follow Jesus unconditionally. Very simply, this means give all of your life to Jesus. Not just, we don't get to pick and choose. We don't get to say, well, Jesus, you can have my career, but don't touch my money. I'm going to make decisions about my money, and I don't want to involve you in that. There's not a single area of our lives that Jesus doesn't want us to bring to him. Our understanding of sheep is pretty limited. Even when it looks terrible, we don't understand, we need to follow him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Secondly, second takeaway, follow Jesus personally. Jesus, our shepherd, wants a relationship with us. And we see that in Psalm 23, where at the beginning, the Lord is our shepherd. He's providing for us. He's protecting us. He's taking care of our needs. He's carrying our burdens, and then he lays down his life for us. But at the end of Psalm 23, we see the shepherd has become our friend. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The sheep have become his friend. And what do friends do? They talk to each other regularly, not just when they're in trouble. So open up your heart to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, today. Trust him as your Savior and ask him to be part, every part of your life. And finally, be a shepherd to others. Get to know others. Let them know that you value them. Spend time together and, most importantly, point them to your shepherd. You know, I was thinking this week about this phrase that I've used in my message here this morning, and we hear it over and over again, new normal, the new normal. And I hate that phrase. I want to go back to the old normal. I don't like the new normal. But then I was thinking this week about how this new normal might be a time that God wants to do a new thing in us as a church and in all of us individually. Our world is crying for something, for some kind of hope. And, you know, we have the only hope there is, our hope in Jesus Christ as our Savior. So I challenge you today that maybe this new normal, and I challenge myself in this too, is a time that we become bold about sharing our love for our shepherd, our Savior. Isaiah 52 says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace," and boy, do we need that these days, "who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation." Follow Jesus unconditionally. Follow Jesus personally. Be a shepherd to others. Let's pray together. Oh, Jesus, our good shepherd. Boy, if we were left to ourselves, our faith would flounder and we would be lost. Thank you that our salvation rests on your undeserved mercy and your unfailing promises. We are provided for and protected and refined and treasured because you have laid down your life for us. Oh God, help us to trust you with all of our hearts and in all our ways acknowledge you. Direct our paths. Give us boldness, Lord, and keep us in your care. Amen.